I work in a CCRC. I deal with seniors all the time, but again, I am a daughter. And it's a very fine line that you walk. If I could give anyone advice, I would probably say just to be prepared. Should anything happen to your loved one, what are you going to do? You know, if something happens and they're in the hospital, is there a plan in your head? If something happens and they can no longer stay where they're living right now, do you have some kind of a plan? Because the worst thing, you don't want to be caught up short. You don't want to be, oh my goodness, now what? If you could be prepared, if you could kind of anticipate, and I'd also say to try to start a conversation. So you'll know where your mom is, where your dad is, because you have to be very careful that you don't tread on their freedom. You have to respect that.
That's Barbara Davey, who's going to be a guest on our show today. She's got a lot of experience about caring for an aging parent or adult from working in a CCRC. What's a CCRC? While we're at it, what's an IL, AL, SA, SNU, or an MC? Why are these important to you and your aging parent? And how do you go about picking a good one? We'll go over all this senior care alphabet soup on this episode of Raising Rents. This is Raising Rents Podcast Episode 6. Raising Rents is a show about everything you need to know in raising your parents or an aging adult. Thank you for taking the time to listen. By the way, April is Stress Awareness Month. Stress is very high with caregivers. Please be sure to take the time this month and be good to yourself. Relieve the stress in your life or help somebody else with theirs.
Hello, rents.
That's Anastasia. She's my 22-year-old daughter. My wife, Phyllis, and I think we did a pretty decent job of raising her. She goes around and calls us rents. But you know what? I'm all right with that, because one day she's going to be raising us. And just wait and see what I'm going to be calling her. My name is Zach Demopoulos. I'm your host, and welcome to the Raising Rents Podcast. By the way, this show is made possible with the support of Comfort Care. Comfort Care is a national home care provider, and they truly do help you live your best life possible.
I'm very used to the medical community, especially with Medicare patients, and I understand how difficult it is sometimes for the families to say, gee, mom's going to be discharged. Dad's got to get out of here in 48 hours. What do I do?
Barbara Davey is a community relations director for Cranes Mill Community in West Caldwell, New Jersey, whom I've known for almost 5 years. She's wearing what she calls her Sally Jesse Raphael glasses. You millennials really don't know what that is. And she calls herself an aging baby boomer and loves working at Cranes Mill, which is a CCRC. We'll learn a little bit more about that in just a minute.
So we're very lucky. We're very close. And mom and dad, I've got my rents. They're living in Upper Montclair. They both turned 85 years old. They're living in a big house in Upper Montclair. And, you know, being that I'm in a retirement community, I understand that we're not on a slippery slope yet, but I understand what could happen as people age and they're in the same house that you grew up in, and some of the wonderful things about being in a big old house when you're in your 30s, 40s, 50s, even 60s. Once you get on the other side of 85, it can be a little challenging.
I met Barbara's mother at a function recently. She's a beautiful woman, full of energy and personality, active, and does not look like her age at all. No slippery slope talk for her, but the slippery slope Barbara refers to is a reality of aging and something you either are dealing with now or you're going to have to deal with it in the future, such as when and how to talk about future living options if and when your aging parent cannot live at home anymore, either safely or independently. I asked Barbara, having so many years in healthcare and the senior care industry, what kind of advice would you give to an adult kid who has to have a conversation with an aging adult who today does not appear to have an imminent need to change their lifestyle?
So I know it's very, very difficult to have these conversations with what you call rents. And I've tried to sort of give a hypothetical to my parents sometime. If a friend has, you know, an incident, like my mother might say, oh, I was in the beauty parlor and Mrs. So-and-so fell and she dislocated her hip. I'll let mom tell the story and I'll say, hey, mom, if that ever happened to you, do we have a plan in place? What do you want? Because my parents, you know, thank God they're mentally sharp, they're alert, but sometimes it's easier for me and maybe for other baby boomers to speak in a hypothetical and kind of use an example of one of their friends that might be in a situation and say, gee, mom, gee, dad, if that happened to you, what's our plan? What would you like? So that's kind of my modus operandi, Zach.
So whether you're having a conversation about the future or all of a sudden you need to select a long-term care option for your aging parent, it's a good idea to have some understanding of what these options are. Barbara works in a CCRC. It was estimated that there were 1,900 of them in 2010, according to a task force that Jane E. Zarum led. I have a link to that particular study in the show notes. A lot of people don't know what a CCR is and what are the five levels of senior care that define a CCRC. Barbara shares that with us.
You're right. No one knows what a CCRC is, and it is an acronym standing for a Continuing Care Retirement Community. And in order to be a CCRC, you have to have all levels of senior care within your one community. Now, Cranes Mill is one that does that, and there's five different levels, Zach. The number one is independent living. And I always tell prospective people coming in here, our independent living, don't expect to see people swinging tennis rackets or golf clubs. It's not a 55 and over active adult community. You're not going to find, you know, baby boomers that are really fit and tan and all set to take on a, like I said, mountain climbing. Our independent living, we can have people that might need a wheelchair, people that might need a walker. It's not, again, an active 55 and over community, but it is independent.
I asked Barbara, who is and who is not an ideal resident of an IL or an independent living community?
An ideal resident, I would say, would be somebody, they're usually coming in late 70s, early 80s, in relatively good health, that can come into an independent living environment, pick out their own floor plan. We have 21 different floor plans. Maybe they could still drive. Maybe they don't want to drive at night, but we have two full-time drivers here. Maybe they would like to have some more socialization because the neighborhood that they're in right now, maybe there's younger people moving in. Their whole kind of group is either migrated to a different part of the country. Maybe they're living with children. Maybe they just need a little bit more of a, you know, social environment, but having all of the backup of having, you know, their meals done in a lovely dining room should they choose to, having a doctor on staff, having nurses right there, but, you know, going on to live their life and live their life to the fullest. Not an ideal resident. You know, some people just say, I'm going to stay in my own apartment. I'm going to bring in help 24/7. I'm never going to leave. And that's just the way I'm going to live my life. And you know what? That's fine too. The CCRCs is more of a community type of living versus some people just might say, I don't really want to see anybody. I'm just going to stay in my own apartment, my own house, whatever. And if I'm 102 and I have to bring in 24/7 care, that's what I choose to do.
And they allow pets. I love it.
Absolutely. We do allow pets. Second level of care would be assisted living. A lot of times in a CCRC, people may transition from independent living over to assisted living. Assisted living is exactly what it sounds like. Your meals will be prepared and make sure that you're eating them in a common dining area. So we'll make sure that you don't get dehydrated, make sure that you get all of your minerals and kind of like watching out for you. Your medications will be given to you. You'll also have daily housekeeping services, anything to kind of get you, make sure that you're healthy and make sure that you're safe. Third level would be skilled nursing. Once a resident goes through assisted living, there's three levels of care. The first being more independent, the third being more dependent. Second is in the middle. Once a resident can no longer do certain things, which we call activities of daily living, in assisted living, they'd have to transition again to skilled nursing, which is really nursing home care.
There's another acronym for the alphabet soup. ADLs, or activities of daily living, a very important metric for that slippery slope of aging we mentioned in the beginning of the show.
An activity might be if they can no longer feed themselves. It's really something then if you need to be fed, you really need to be in a nursing home environment. If you can't transfer yourself from, say, the wheelchair to your bed, or say from the wheelchair to a commode, if you can't do that any longer and you need assistance, that would be nursing home care as well. And it's not only for the safety of the person, but also the people who are in assisted living who, you know, are trying to be independent, and you really don't want to have somebody that has to be fed at the same table as they are. It's a dignity issue for everyone. The fourth level of care would be subacute rehab. Somebody breaks a hip, somebody needs a knee repaired, somebody needs 24-hour antibiotics. That would be up in subacute rehab.
Subacute is a term that gets thrown around a lot too. I asked Barbara to elaborate.
Acute, of course, means that the need is more urgent. There's more of an emergency with an acute care, whether it's an acute care hospital or even acute care rehab. Subacute, using the prefix sub, would be underneath or lower, like a submarine or subterranean. So subacute care is not as urgent. It's still very, very important, but it's more that you're going to have a real strong rehab component, some skilled nursing, but it's not as if you're going to have to 911 someone to an operating room or to an emergency room. And especially with a senior, because the rehabilitation recovery process, because as you get older, you don't bounce back as quickly. So subacute care is really crucial when you're looking at the whole continuum of senior health. And finally, the fifth one, Zach, would be memory care.
Let's recap. The five levels of senior care that make up a CCRC are independent living, or IL, assisted living, or AL, skilled nursing unit, or SNU, sometimes they're referred to as a nursing home, subacute rehab, or SA, and memory care, or MC. Now, you can find these facilities sitting alone, or you can find them all in one community, like a CCRC. In the show notes, there's a directory that lists many of these different types of facilities and the definitions for them.
I want to make sure that they're a true CCRC. Some people bill themselves as that, but they may not have a subacute rehab that's really recognized by some of the hospitals as a, quote, legitimate rehab to bring somebody. They have to have physical therapy there. They have to have a nursing staff that's, say, certified to do maybe wound care, IV therapy. They have to have certain criteria that a hospital would say, yes, we can definitely transfer someone from our acute setting to your subacute. And that's very, very important because, again, Medicare is not keeping people in the hospital as long as they used to. So they're being discharged when they're weaker, when they're frailer, when they need more care. You want to make sure that that subacute can just step up and continue that continuum. I know that sounds redundant, but continue it so they're not going to, you know, lose anything in their rehab.
Here's a critical question I asked Barbara. How do we go about selecting the right one for our parent, if and when the time comes they need one?
Some people will say to me, usually the kids, you know, the hospital is going to be discharging mom. She had a broken hip. She's had it replaced. I'd really like her to go to Kessler because Kessler is acute rehab and it's terrific and it's wonderful. It has a worldwide reputation. But sometimes Kessler might not accept somebody if they can't keep up with the rigorous acute care, acute rehab that is required in an institution like that. So the social worker may say, you know what, we have to go to a subacute rehab, and I want three different places that you could give me. Usually the family gets a list, and the social worker has to really be a little bit hands-off. They can't direct or, you know, just say, you've got to go to this place, or gee, I would wink, wink, try to steer the admissions over to a certain place. They really have to be, you know, almost like the justice, the blind justice, and say, these are three places or these are four places. I would suggest you get in the car and drive to them and take a look and get a feel for them.
Okay, Barbara, that sounds more like the technical factors. Let's get to the emotional side. What do we really need to do to pick the right place for mom and dad, like a subacute?
I would go into the facility and I'd ask to speak with the director of rehab. And I'd say, how many times a day would my mom have rehab? Is it once a day? Is it twice a day? Is it 5 days a week? 6 days a week? And I would really want to get a handle on rehab. Rehab is probably one of the most important parts of the subacute experience, especially with an orthopedic injury. The nursing staff, are they a 4-star nursing staff, 5-star nursing staff? How are they rated? And you can find all of this on the Medicare website, CMS, Centers for Medicare and Medicaid.
By the way, I have links to the site Barbara mentioned. It's a great resource to get the lowdown on any facility that Medicare does business with, which is practically all of them. That's www.medicare.gov. When you go there, you can scroll down and look for doctors, providers, hospitals, plans, and suppliers, and it will give you the latest survey information that's been conducted through the CMS. Okay, back to Barbara. She's now getting to the heart of the matter.
You're always looking for the best for your loved one. I understand that. Sometimes you can hit the particular facility at a bad time. Maybe it's change of shift. Maybe there happens to be someone who's had an incontinence accident and there tends to be an odor in the hallway. I'm not going to say any place is perfect, but I do think the most important part is looking at the staff. You can be in the most beautiful place with fresh flowers and beautiful accommodations that can be well appointed, but if the staff seems disinterested, if they seem like it's annoying to get up and answer a call bell, when you're taking care of someone and you have their most intimate needs at your disposal there, you're not making widgets on an assembly line. You're really taking care of body, soul, spirit of someone's loved one, and it should almost be considered a vocation and honor to care for them on that level, because you are really making a difference. Of course, if it's a chronic kind of a thing, there's no excuse for that, because these are human beings and they should not be subject to an environment that it's chronic, always a smell of urine in the hall. No, absolutely not. But sometimes it can happen where there just may be an emergency where someone, you know, that particular CNA or aide that's supposed to take care of that particular person might be in a more emergent situation with another resident, and you just happen to have been walking down the hallway at that particular time. That can happen. But again, there's no excuse for anything chronic.
You know, Barbara taught me something really important here. I used to tell families of clients that they can walk through a facility, if it reeks of urine, get the heck out of there. But to her point, there's so much more you need to look at. No facility is perfect, and it might have been just an accident that day. So look to see how they're handling it, and really look to see how good the staff is. They are really the most important factor. So I asked Barbara, where do you go to find a CCRC or components of them? By the way, I listed these with links in our show notes.
It depends on the availability of the particular nursing home, assisted living facility, senior care facility. Usually what I would do is probably go on a website. Seniorsbluebook.com is one where people from all over the country can actually hit on their state, and they can kind of see what places are around their particular county. They have all types of numbers on there that they can call. They can probably also call their local office on aging to see if they have any particular, availability. I also think sometimes a pastor, a minister, a rabbi could help, because a lot of times they're very much in tune with different senior facilities.
Barbara's a unique and amazing individual. She loves what she does. You'll find people like her at a CCRC, and families really appreciate what she and her community do for them.
Well, you know, I was actually at a wake yesterday, and the two baby boomer sons were there, and I had taken care of the mom for the past 5 years, and the dad was there. And the sons, it sounds embarrassing, but came up and said, you know, you are all angels over there at Crane's Mill, and gave me a big hug and said, we never thought that they'd have such a high quality of life, and took such wonderful good care of mom. Mom's in heaven now. And dad, who's one of our assisted living residents, has been taken care of so well, he can't wait to go back. That's where his family is, even though we are his blood family. There's a family there waiting for him to have breakfast tomorrow morning and lunch and dinner tomorrow night. And we just can't thank you enough for giving dad this quality of life at the end of his life, and especially after his partner of 67 years is no longer here. We know dad's going to be okay. And that was a home run for me.
You have to appreciate her perspective. Remember the 9 beginner steps to raising parents? Like, be respectful, be loving, be there.
If you're in dietary, you know, you're just not serving meals. This is really one of the highlights of this person's life, coming in for their 3 meals. And it's really important that you know who takes coffee, who takes tea, how many sugars they take, who takes cream versus, you know, skim milk. And the staff is just phenomenal sometimes with those little things, and they're really not little things, especially when people get into the end of their life and they're not really, you know, ready to scale a mountain. This is really where their life is, and it's just so important. Our recreational staff is the same way, and it's not even the game itself or the painting class. It's being surrounded by people that really care about them, you know about them, know about their past life, who was a teacher, who was a dad, who used to, you know, write books, who was even a sports figure. We've had, you know, a lot of VIPs here, and it's not even just, you know, that this is this old man in a wheelchair or this is an old lady that has a walker. No, this was a vibrant person that really contributed so much in their younger days. And it's just something that we just have to hold on to, the essence of making them who they were. And it's still there, even if the body is a little bit older and you can't really figure, gee, that person was a World War II vet. He used to, you know, jump in and out of Jeeps going, you know, 30 miles an hour and all of this. And now he's in a wheelchair and he can't really walk on his own. But what he used to do for us and what a debt we owe him.
Thank you for listening to Raising Rents. We will be taking another quick break and returning on May 2nd. If you have feedback, resources to share, a question to ask, or a great story, please go to our website, www.raisingrents.com, and send me a note. I would love to hear from you. And if you like our show, please go on iTunes and write us a review. Have a great week, and remember, our parents raised us. The least we can do is help raise them. Talk to you later.